Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In today's gospel, we read the story of the road to Emmaus. Now, this is probably one of the greatest stories in all of the four gospels. It has everything: interesting characters, suspense, and even an unexpected ending. Now, the message or the lesson from this great story has echoed through the halls of our churches for 2,000 years. It speaks to us about our church, better yet, who we are and how we encounter the risen Lord in our life. There's something deeply gripping about this story that gets to the very heart of our identity. Now, remember last week. Last week, the gospel was about Jesus appearing to the apostles for the very first time after his resurrection, and also the story of doubting Thomas. And in that story, we clearly have a lesson that Jesus Christ is most clearly seen in the church. St. Thomas Aquinas once said, "The power of God is seen in all of the sacraments, but only in the Eucharist," Thomas says, "is ipse Christos, Christ himself present." Therefore, it's so important for us to remain in the church so that we can see clearly, you know, the risen Lord in our life. And therefore, this story of the road to Emmaus teaches us the exact same lesson. And how appropriate. You know, both gospel stories begin with the very first day of the week. And so the very first day of the week, Jesus appears to his apostles, but then he also, at the same day, appears to these two disciples going on the road to Emmaus. So in some ways, the story of Jesus' appearance to the apostles and John, as well as the story of the road to Emmaus, they have to be read almost together because they give us the same message. It's a powerful message. The post-resurrected Jesus Christ is visibly seen always in our church. And we're going to see that here in this story. Now notice how it begins. On the first day of the week, the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, when you read the Bible, where people are going, their journeys always have some level of importance, have some meaning. I'll give you some examples. The Transfiguration. Jesus travels with his apostles to Mount Tabor. He climbs Mount Tabor and is miraculously transfigured before them. Heaven and earth unite in the most powerful way, and the apostles truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as the light of heaven shines and radiates upon him. Peter, now we remember, he wants to stay on top of that mountain, but Jesus says no. And so at the end of this story, it says they made their way down the mountain and continued on their way, which was to Jerusalem. Jesus knew that's where his destiny lied. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus. You know, Jesus, he's walking through Jericho, Sin City, and he sees blind Bartimaeus begging at the walls of Jericho. And he heals him. He cures him of his blindness. And so Bartimaeus not only sees physically, but spiritually he sees that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And at the very end of the story, it said Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. Turn to John 14. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." And so these are all images about journeys, right? About walking the path, in this case, the right spiritual path that always leads to Christ. Well, we see these disciples. They're walking too. They're walking from Jerusalem to this village called Emmaus. Now stop and think. Jerusalem right now, with all that has taken place in the past several days in the Bible, I would argue Jerusalem is a spiritual hotbed. Think about it. Jesus in Jerusalem, he celebrated the Last Supper, in which Jesus institutes the very Mass that we know today. But also during the Last Supper, he ordains all the apostles and the very first priests. So it's a powerful moment for all of them. And then Jesus in Jerusalem, he experiences his passion and death. But then also in Jerusalem, he rises from the dead. And then he begins to appear to people, Mary Magdalene and Mary at the tomb. You know, last week it was the apostles. And so if there's any place you want to be, it's in Jerusalem. Because Jesus is appearing to so many people in Jerusalem. Therefore, your best bet to see the risen Lord is to remain in Jerusalem. Hunker down there. Now, take it a step further. The apostles, they're all in Jerusalem. They have just seen the risen Lord, and they're therefore staying there in Jerusalem. Because there's a chance, a pretty good chance, he's going to come back again several more times. And so where else would you want to be but with the church, with the apostles? Because you stand a very good chance, again, of seeing the risen Lord. And yet, where are these two disciples going? They're leaving Jerusalem. Which means what? They're walking the wrong way. They're walking the wrong spiritual path. In fact, they're walking away from the church. Now, next in the story, it says, Jesus drew near them, and yet the disciples' eyes were prevented from recognizing Jesus. Herein lies two great spiritual truths. When we are walking away from Jesus and the church, it's going to be very difficult for us to see the presence of Christ in our life. The second spiritual truth, probably even more important, even though we're walking away from Christ and the church, Jesus will draw near to us. And here's another example of God's redemptive grace. You know, we saw that redemptive grace with Martha several weeks ago, with the apostles last week. We see it again with these two disciples. Even though they're walking away, Jesus is walking side by side with them. That's a great lesson for us. Even though we may make a bad decision, we may walk the errant path that leads maybe away from the church and God, Jesus will draw near to us. Our God is a God that will not give up on us. No, instead, he will walk with us in order to give us his redeeming grace. And in doing so, he gets us back on the right path, the path that leads to him. And that's what we're seeing here. You know, we always have to remember and understand it's a basic biblical truth. Our God is not some distant figure out in the galaxy waiting to be found by us. Instead, it's just the opposite. He is an active God. He is the one that searches out for us. Remember how Jesus describes himself. He is the good shepherd that leaves the 99 behind in search of the one. That's what we see here. Now, Jesus, he appears that he doesn't really know what has transpired over the past several days in Jerusalem. And so these disciples are dumbfounded by that. You know, they stand there incredulous. A good analogy would be if after, the day after September 11th, someone would come up to you and say, hey, how come there's no planes flying in the sky? And how come all the shops are closed up? And how come is everybody staying at home? Well, we would stand incredulous too. We'd say, well, you know, were you asleep yesterday? Did you not, you know, find out what happened? Our country was attacked? Well, Jesus, he recognizes these two disciples, they understand all the events that took place, but they can't put it together. They can't see the big picture. And so Jesus will give them his vision. It says, Jesus opened up their minds, and he interpreted scripture from Moses until the present time. Saint Jerome once said, what is hidden in the old is revealed in the new. Well, what's hidden in the old? Jesus Christ. Think about it. all of the Old Testament prophets, they all prophesied and wrote about Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. They wrote about his birth, his life, his ministry, his miracles, even his passion, death, and resurrection. Well, what's revealed in the New? Jesus Christ himself. He's the embodiment of all those revelations. So Jesus' entire life is foreordained. His birth, his ministry, his entire life, you know, we read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, it says, as they approached the village, Jesus gave the impression that he was going to go on further. And so they encourage him to stay with him. So Jesus, he sits down at table with him. Now, this is table fellowship, the same table fellowship that Jesus, you know, shared with the apostles at the Last Supper. And it says, he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they saw the risen Lord in the breaking of the bread. In that Eucharistic act, Jesus reveals himself. And the apostles or the disciples, they see that. Well, the same thing held true at the time of the Last Supper. In that Eucharistic act in which Jesus said the blessing and broke the bread, the apostles knew that Jesus now was the Son of God. And therefore, it gives us another great lesson. Jesus is most clearly seen in the Mass, in our sacred scripture, in the Eucharist. Every time we come to Mass, you know, Jesus is the one that says the blessing and breaks the bread. And in doing so, after the consecration, we see his body and his blood on the altar. And we too make that great bold statement that Thomas did last week, my Lord and my God. In fact, one could argue in many ways, every time we come to Mass, we essentially live out this story of the road to Emmaus. How does our Mass begin? Well, we call it the penitential rite. We either say, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, or we pray the Confiteor. We say or pray, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. And so at the very beginning of Mass, we recognize that in many ways we are like these two disciples. We may be walking in the wrong direction, and therefore we beg for God's grace. Well, next at Mass, we sit down and we listen to the Old Testament and the New Testament speak to us about Jesus Christ. And Jesus opens our minds so that we can come to know him and see the big picture. Next is the Eucharistic act. At the time of the consecration, Jesus, he says the blessing, breaks the bread, and we gaze upon the altar after the consecration, and we see his body and his blood. Our eyes are open, wide open, just like the disciples, just like the apostles. And we know we now have seen the visible risen Christ in our midst. One last thing to think about. At the end of the story, after seeing the risen Lord, the first instinct for the disciples to run back to Jerusalem and tell the church, tell the apostles. How does this story begin? Two disciples walking in the wrong direction. How does it end? The same two disciples now walking in the right direction, walking to the church to proclaim what? They have seen the risen Lord. Well, the same thing holds true with us. You know, at the end of Mass, the priest says, go now to love and serve the Lord. Well, we can't, because we know we are now walking the right path, the path that always leads to Jesus Christ. And that's because we, just like the two disciples, we have seen the risen Lord, you know, in the consecration, his body in his blood. And that motivates us to now continue to walk that right path, the path that always leads to Christ. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.